Vier Jungs aus einem Dorf in England, die zu Männern werden und zu einer Band. Only the Poets war bei uns und haben über ihr neues Album gesprochen, das am 29. Januar 2026 erscheint. Und natürlich alles drumherum, wie es sich anfühlt, auf einmal bekannt zu sein, wie solche Songtexte eigentlich entstehen. Und ein bisschen was über ihr Privatleben und ihre Freundschaft, weil vier Jungs, das ist schon krass in einer Band, haben wir auch erfahren. All das hört ihr jetzt in der neuen Folge mit mir, Jale. Viel Spaß, schön, dass ihr hier seid.
Der Energy Star Talk. Eure Stars im Interview.
You've made it to Berlin. Congratulations. Oh wait, I have to turn on your microphone. It was off. Have you been to Berlin before?
We've been here 6 times now.
Wow, 6 times. How come?
Yeah, 6 times for music. So we've done 4 headline shows and 2 support shows here.
Congratulations. And your music, that's what we want to talk about today. If your music screams one thing, it's dealing with relationships. Is that a good start? Is that true?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's just like
diving headfirst into something new and exciting.
And not... Yeah. You know, not worrying about where it goes and try not to think of like the negatives, just literally go with your kind of heart, you know, that's really what it
so
is.
So would you rather have a sort of toxic relationship that is very emotional and very intense that or a healthy relationship that is a little boring? Because my unpopular opinion is like, well, a healthy relationship that doesn't do anything to my like I don't want it.
I get
it's
saying.
Boring. It's so like.
I mean,
so
you only
live
once, don't you? So you
right.
need a bit of
I'm not sure.
I love that answer.
I think toxic was the key word. Toxic.
Yeah,
I don't think anyone wants.
Yeah. I don't
yeah.
Think,
okay.
But, oh, no, I do know what you mean. You want a bit of. You want someone to keep you on the toes occasionally.
Yeah, I guess it depends on what you want. Yeah. Boring doesn't necessarily mean bad. It can also mean reliable.
No, of course.
Yeah.
So, yeah, for sure.
I guess it depends where you are in that point.
Very smart answer.
Coexisting.
Yeah.
A few arguments as well. So I mean, Tom are great.
But I feel like you do point out or you could like pinpoint emotions very well. I loved your song, Emotionally Hungover.
Thanks.
This line, like you are sober, but then you're drained and you feel this kind of icky as if you were having a hangover.
Yeah.
How does that lyrics kind of come up? Like what inspires you to write that? What triggers it maybe? And maybe you can also give like a sneak peek to your album, I'd Do It Again, that's going to come out. Is it all going to be this deep? Because I feel like it is kind of deep, right? So I love that. I felt seen. I could relate.
Oh,
so that was
lovely.
My...
I mean, that song has really... I feel like the reaction to it has been so amazing. I mean, that just came from a place of like... just, you know, it's a very human feeling and you know, and it's pretty relatable because we all have those days, you know, where... your emotions make you kind of feel just awful and weigh so heavy on you like a hangover would, you know? And what I loved about that, because I had the title before the lyric came, and then there's not a song in the world called that, yet it makes perfect sense, doesn't it? When you say emotionally hungover, you go, oh, well, that's about X, you know? So, yeah, I think that the album, Would You Say Lads, like, that's definitely a point that's quite emotional and reflective, but then there's also other songs that are...
Yeah,
there's other moments of real kind of vulnerability.
Yeah, there
as
is.
Well.
There is. But there is also on the flip side maybe slightly less deep stuff too.
Yeah.
There's a couple of songs on there that I think still have like some emotional undertone, but they're a little more, I don't know, maybe don't quite hit so hard in the feels. So it's like a nice mix of stuff on there.
How would you describe the upcoming album in like maybe one sentence or 3 words?
Earlier. 3 words.
You said earlier, we I liked nostalgia was good. Okay, wasn't it? Like nostalgic.
Yeah.
Late night driving, you said.
Yeah.
I feel like it's an amalgamation of all of our influences over the last... I mean, saying 7 years is a long time, but I feel like it's such a big moment for us. And we didn't overthink too much with this record, and I feel like it was just us being genuinely ourselves. And I think it's all of our influences in one body of work. So it's kind of genre bending.
I think since we were kids and we first started playing instruments, it's always been our dream to be able to release our debut album. So in a way, it's like our whole lives have kind of like everything we've learned along the way, every influence we've had and every song we've ever loved or listened to has kind of led up to this album here, which is why it's kind of more than just the songs that are in it. It's like everything we've ever worked towards.
Mm.
That's why we say, and I do it again, because it's like our whole journey leads to this moment where these 12, you know, how many songs
14,
are on there?
14, mate. 14, bud.
Just to get that clear.
Yeah, I was fucked up by the end there.
No, but it's, yeah, right, no, you're, no, dead, it's like everything happens for a reason. We don't look back with any kind of regret. It's because it's kind of shaped us into the band we are and the people we are, you know, our life.
All the good, all everything. The bad.
Yeah.
Everything,
beautifully,
yeah.
Put. How nervous on a scale of 1 to 10 are you, like, coming closer to the release? I'm that must be like a nerve wracking.
I mean, I'm not really. I'm just excited.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
Because we've done like this. It's the truest. I think we're all really happy with the fact that it feels the truest representation of the band we've kind of always wanted to be. So to arrive at that point on your debut album. We just really believe in it and we poured everything into it, and it's a real representation of who we are. So we made an album that we love, and hopefully the world can take it however they want, you know, but
yeah,
we're proud of it.
So we get to see fragments of your personalities. We get to look into it, you guys.
Yeah, there's probably a lot of that in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing. But you also said it's also a like reflection or storytelling of what happened. I mean, there's you and what you bring to the table, and that's what everything that comes your way and that you got to deal with. Also your European tour and being on stage, and I want to talk about that a little more. How does that feel? Could you describe that feeling, being in front of the people playing live? How does that feel?
Like complete euphoria. Yeah.
It is the
then it's like
it
it's
is the best thing
feeling.
Isn't it? I think we spoke about this earlier, like it's a funny thing where we put all this time into, like, we're talking about this album, right? We put all this time into make this body of music. But for us, we're always thinking about the end result, which is how we perform that live on a stage. So you kind of go through the process of, like, making the music. But really, for us, as soon as we get on the stage, that is, like, that's the bit. That's, like, that's when we're really selling the song.
That's the DNA of who we are. It's, like, a live band, so it's...
Yeah, that was nicely put. So... when the songs are born or when they're being created, you always think about that moment when you're performing on stage. That's an element. That's very interesting.
Yeah,
that's very nice. Did you have a favorite venue, a favorite moment, any highlights? Very tough question.
I mean, Huxley. We did a first ever Berlin headline show. It was at Huxley's which was just...
Mm-hmm.
Some of our favorite bands.
When I was a kid, yeah, I had this Radiohead DVD, and I used to love watching it. And they play Huxley's in the video, and I remember when we played it first time, I was like mind blown.
And like Kasabian had been there, and Foles were there like the week before, so we were like, it's our first ever headline show in Berlin. We were like, wow, there's some crazy. This is like kind of like feels like a rite of passage venue that's got so much history. So that's a standout, not just because we're here right now, trust me, it genuinely is like.
No, I get it.
Very exciting.
We of note that we also are doing Brixton Academy,
yes,
in London, which is like again like the dream. I think that's probably my favorite venue in London.
It's
amazing. So that's gonna be mind blowing that we're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
How does a day before a stage look like? Do you have any rituals, anything that kind of connects you guys beforehand, or?
Yeah,
kind of like
we
whatever.
Definitely have definitely kind of a bit of a ritual. Like we'll always have like an hour to half an hour of like playing our favorite bangers like on a speaker in the dressing room, getting a couple of drinks, maybe.
Yeah, getting the playlist on, the pre-show playlist is always a must for us. Get us like kind of in the zone, hyped up.
Playlist.
Yeah.
We've walked out to Staying Alive by the Bee Gees for the last 12 months, maybe longer.
Yeah.
So every time I hear that song now, I'm like, okay, I need to get ready for stage. But then we've conditioned ourselves to hear that song.
Whenever our tour manager goes, all right, guys, follow me, we've got to go to stage. Staying Alive comes on, and it's because it's the perfect like walking song, I find.
Yeah,
it's so like the stage.
And we'll be like walking down a corridor, and we'll be like bopping along.
The other thing
that.
As well, like to go, because when you walk out, it's such an overwhelming sense of excitement and adrenaline that. If you were just to sit in silence and then go and do that, you almost got to like
warm
yourself up. So like the speaker goes on and like we have a little move around the dressing room and sing into our favorite songs and like have a little drink. It's good to get the energy up in the dressing room before we go on stage. So that's, sometimes there's been times very rarely where like we're doing something and we have to go straight on stage and it's always a bit jarring. So it's nicer to really kind of get yourself
the bare minimum
in the zone mentally as well.
But adding to that, we've always high fived as well before.
A little high five.
We've never not high fived.
It's like we've
got
your
shows, back. All the shows we've done, it's like we have to high five.
Four-way high five.
What happens if you don't?
Oh. We don't want to find out. No, that's the thing.
Yeah. It grounds us. I honestly feel like it's like we're connecting with each other. It's like, okay, this is, we have to do this before we play.
If you were in a very public situation, is a low five count, or is it really this?
It's always high.
It's always up high.
Yeah. And it's always dark, so I'm literally always missing as well. But it's just part of it.
Oh my god! If that was my ritual and I would miss it, I would be like, fuck, like that, something is in the air. Like I can't go.
That's kind of part of it now. I feel like the missing is the big part.
That's very interesting. What are you excited for? Obviously, your album release. Obviously, that's going to be very exciting. And then also getting to, maybe we can talk about that a little bit, getting to see the reactions of people, because some songs are out. My reaction already, I really love it. And I thought it was interesting that I did some research. I saw some other interviews of you where you said that Foals and Arctic Monkeys were part of your biggest inspirations. And I was a huge Foals fan as a teenager, like huge. I've been to their concert as well. And I remember when I first heard a song without really realizing it was you guys, I think it was like a year or something ago. I thought of the Arctic Monkeys and I thought of Foals. I was like, that's kind of the vibe it gave me, because I feel like... which you said, like being a live band is kind of rare. We have a lot of like single personalities that are very like fluctual, morphing into whatever. And you really have this band character. So that's great. And that's why I wanted to ask, are there any fan reactions or just generally reactions to your music that really touched you? Can you remember anything that people said?
I mean, one of the craziest things is when people show us that they've got tattoos of our lyrics, or not even our lyrics sometimes it's
your face.
Yeah, well, like really? Crazy stuff like that. Yeah, I don't think I've actually had my face anywhere before, but just like tattoos in general.
So whoever's listening, who's considering it, is that a message?
It's on your skin forever, so don't regret it, please.
I think that's a lovely one. I mean, the tattoo things, that's always very,
I just feel like there's happy. No, is there a bigger compliment than like, I want your lyrics on my skin forever? I don't know if there is, really. That's always a big one.
It feels like we've helped a lot of people. I mean, a lot of people have told us that our music has been a real escape for them and helped them through hard times. And like, what I love is that a fan will say a song has helped them and makes them feel a certain way that's completely different to what we wrote it about. And that's the beauty of music, right? And how subjective it is and how you can draw your own narrative from it. And like, once, as an artist, once you put your song out there, you can... It's there for anyone to take it however they want, and I think that's real lovely. It's a reminder of how amazing getting to do this is, and the real kind of sense of, you know, it's therapeutic for people, I think, and it helps people. So there's no bigger compliment, really.
Yeah, and maybe holding their hands, because we're all feeling these emotions. Like you said, there hasn't been a title like Emotionally Hungover, but we all know immediately when we see it, like, oh yeah, I've been there. We've all been there. Those who claim they haven't, they're lying. I'm just saying that. Speaking of that, we actually have a huge topic right now here in our radio, which it's about forehead kisses, and I'm just curious if it's a cultural thing, because we have this. Okay, so you're dating someone, but you're not in a relationship, right? It's some sort of situationship, whatever. And if you were to not be emotionally attached to that person, but still give them a forehead kiss, like, would you give someone a forehead kiss you're not emotionally attached to? Because that was a huge debate topic. Some of us were like, that's a no-go. That creates feelings.
Feels patronizing to me, a little forehead kiss.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever given anyone a forehead kiss apart from my
me.
2-year-old second cousin that I saw like the other day. She's like a baby.
Yeah,
you'd give a little baby a little kiss on the head.
I wouldn't even forehead kiss a baby unless it was like.
Well, I wouldn't. I don't like random babies.
Like family or like yeah. Well, maybe well.
okay. I don't kiss like yeah, but well, I think do you know what I mean? That might be a cultural thing, because do you guys do that?
I feel like if it's a family member or someone.
No, in relationships, romantic.
I think a forehead kiss is like too, there's too much love in a forehead kiss.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, if you give that, you're in this kind of thing. Yes. Yeah. Well, you agree with me. That's great. We have one team for the girls
that's
team.
Too personal. Emotional connection is the forehead kiss. If it's a situationship,
I forgot that was a...
Yeah,
you're talking about that. I still talk about just like family members. Yeah,
sorry. In a romantic situation, because I feel
the
like
wrong impression.
It's more of a high five. Give a high five.
Give a high five. Yeah. That clears it up. There should be no questions if there is only a high five.
Not forehead.
Yeah, but I do feel like I mean, I know commitment issues are like a generational thing and they're existing everywhere. I feel like Germany is particularly bad. And I have my ex, roommate was from London, and he said, like, we don't have these issues over here. We take things seriously. Like, that's a German thing. Like, and that's why I was curious. Like, you're from the UK. Like, if you date someone and you say we meet that date, then in that time, there's no, unless you're like in hospital or something or really sick or something came up, like, there's a healthier communication, whereas I feel like here people really, they just ditch you. They're like, I forgot.
Oh, really?
Like a minute beforehand.
Oh, yeah, that
they're
like that, yeah, that doesn't feel very
I feel
English.
Like in the UK, yeah, people will be there.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I think.
Whether they actually, like, beyond that want to commit to anything is a whole different question.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think in London, though, people are, like, organising dates for, like, a month in advance.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's like, oh, I'll see you in a month. Instead of, like, every week. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So maybe they're punctual because it's, like, a month in advance.
Yeah. What about you?
Calendar.
You have a busy schedule, but apart from that, are you like more like spontaneous people, or would you rather schedule whatever meeting, doesn't have to be romantic, in advance?
So hard to schedule anything at the moment, honestly.
Yeah, we're trained now to, like, kind of not plan too far ahead because of what we do. Like, things can come up. Like, yeah, you better spontaneity is probably more of
our
lives.
How we have to live.
Not that necessarily what we want at times, but
it's funny though because, like, we'll get home from tour and it's like everything's regimented, and then when you're back, you're like, you have free time, and I'm like, I don't know about you guys, but I hate that. I kind of like knowing, like, okay, you're up at this time, you go here, you have like a purpose. As soon as you have free time, I'm just sat there like, I need to think of something to do.
In your pants, play an Xbox or whatever. Like that.
Yeah, that's an awful image for the listener, but yeah.
No, I'm talking about myself.
Differentiating here. What about now? Are you going to be able to have some off time in Berlin doing something you really like?
Not really.
No, I think we've got quite busy.
I think in the evening
we'll hang out.
Oh, I think we'll probably
go have some nice German beers this evening, I guess.
German bars.
We actually had some nice food last night. We went to like a Asian
sushi.
Cool.
Yeah,
cat.
Had some like sushi and like a pho. I think it's pho.
No.
Like
yeah, the Vietnamese soup.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I've actually never had ramen before until we went to America.
You had your first ramen in the US.
I was on like finding a restaurant.
It was in Canada.
Yeah, and it was beautiful. And now, last night, because I got a train and the lads got a flight, I was like, they were like, oh, can you sort? So I like chose the restaurant and I was like, I'm gonna get one of those bowls again because it's delicious. It was really good. It was really good, actually, wasn't it?
It was good. Yeah.
Really good.
Burgermeister tonight.
But Burgermeister tonight, probably, you know, when in Berlin.
Well, we have a Burgermeister, like,
it's
ultra fans. You should do it like
because it tastes like a really good quality burger.
Sponsor us.
Sponsor us, please, yeah. Come on.
No, that's
only
dangerous.
The poets
are dangerous. We're too many burgers, boys, honestly.
But great. Any other, like, German, like you said, you need to hype yourself up before show. Do you have, like, German artists you know or listen to? Because I feel like that's a thing, and people listen to German rap. I have like this Turkish family part who listen to German. I'm like, you don't understand a thing. Why are you listening to that? And he's like, that's fire.
I mean, I don't.
So
I wish I did. I don't really.
Yeah, I can't
know
actually
anybody.
Think of any that I listen to.
There was an
Aperol currently.
Spritz song last year that I really liked.
Oh, the TikTok thing.
Aperol Spritz, yes, of course.
I was vibing with that last year.
I think it's from Nant.
And it was Aperol Spritz season, so what's the artist called for that?
Nant, I think. It's N-A-N-D. Yeah.
Well, we have a song called Sake, so...
Yeah, there we go. Yeah,
got collab,
Sake.
Maybe we
can collab.
Yeah.
Hit them up. any last words you want to give your maybe audience or fans that really listen to your music, anything, I don't know, you want them to feel while they're listening, or you want them to know? And then, yeah, what can we expect other than the album also next year? What's to come? Where are you going to be? What's going
to
happen?
I think when the record comes, like, we'd love people to listen to... We put a lot of thought behind... just the album from start to finish, like, it will take you on a little bit of a journey. We wanted to kind of create a world for the listener. Mm-hmm. So it'd be great to listen to it if somebody can. It's only 37 minutes. So I'm sure everyone's got that in their schedule, hopefully. Yeah. And like, but just to listen to it from start to finish, because there's a lot of thought behind the placement of tracks, and it tells a little bit of a story. Mm. There's tracks like intertwined and everything. So, but yeah, I guess like my side, anyway, I'm like, just take from it what you want as the listener. Yeah, that's why it's art, you know. If you don't like it, that's fine, but if you love it and it speaks to you on a deep level, then amazing. It's just kind of
well said.
You can't really tell people how to take the record, like, it's up to everybody.
And we'll be bringing it to life and taking it on tour
in Germany a lot.
Around Europe. And yeah, we're doing a bunch of shows in Germany.
We're doing five.
Wow, check it out. Go on,
you guys gotta come. We're gonna get on the list.
Go on our Instagram and just like check out all the dates and come see it live. It's gonna be amazing.
Are they announced yet?
Yeah.
So we're doing shows in Cologne and Berlin. And we're doing that. Is that fine to say?
I don't know.
Aren't we freaking out? But I'm going to say anyway. We're basically playing the album in full from start to finish. So like,
it's like so the chronology also matters.
Yeah. So like Tommy was saying, it is like a concept record in that it takes you on a journey, and there's been a lot of thought. And we've being a live band, we thought about that order. So we really wanted to give people the opportunity to live in that world at a show. So
that's
I don't know if I'm allowed to say it.
When is this air? When does this go live?
It depends.
We're live now.
You're not live now.
I'm joking.
But maybe it's better just to say we are doing the album tour.
You guys get the exclusive.
You get the exclusive. Right, it's not announced yet, but we're going to tell you now.
We're playing Berlin and Cologne full playthrough of the album.
And of course, you're looking forward.
This guy's eyes went so wide when you said that. It was wild.
You guys are invited.
Yeah, I think
like, it's not been announced.
The thing as well is that, like I said earlier, we're so proud because I feel like we've just made an album that we love, and it feels like the truest representation of us. So, you know, we had so much fun making it. So hopefully, people hear that in the record as well. And we poured everything into it. Yeah, we really did.
And I also feel like if you listen to it and don't like it, just don't say anything. Your opinion doesn't even matter.
Everyone's gonna love it.
Hope you feel something.
Yeah.
Whether it's love or hatred or
whenever you can trigger an emotion, you already won, right?
Yeah.
But I feel like one last question that was burning on my tongue like 10 minutes ago: what opinion matters most? Is it like, do you feel like total strangers, if they resonate with you with what you do, that's more of a I hate this, I made it moment, but like, okay, I feel good now. I feel like that's what I wanted to reach. Or if it's close family members, is that more important? Because I feel like if my mom compliments me, I can't take her seriously because she compliments me on everything.
Right.
Yeah, that's,
right?
That's
but if my dad
point.
Does, I'm like, okay, that must be good.
Interesting.
I'd like to say something on this, right? When me and Clem were in a band when we were younger, our parents didn't really like the music because we were like super trying to be like really experimental. Mm-hmm. I think the one thing I'm proud of is like, I feel like a lot of people can listen to it and relate to Only the Poets and our music. So like, I know my mum's a fan. Big up mum. So maybe that's a big compliment.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
But strangers probably over family. I don't know.
Strangers over
family. I'd probably say, it's got to be strangers.
The family are not going to buy the record.
Well, no, and also, I don't think I don't think that our families are going to listen to it and go, your career's over and, you know, just pack your bags, man. This is it.
You're out.
You're done. Yeah. I feel like, I think when somebody comes, like I said earlier, when someone comes up to you and compliments what you do, it is a really lovely thing. So,
100%, yeah.
Yeah, like, but also, I don't know, like, my little sister, right, she does not listen to this kind of music. So when she, like, messaged me and go, I just kind of like that. I'm like, oh. And that kind of means something. But I feel like there's a good, feel like the family sometimes it is good.
We just want to be loved.
We just want to be loved, man. Yeah.
This is the bane of like being artists, right? You always need that acceptance from whoever it is. So,
literally
from anyone.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we'll take it in any form.
Please.
But I think it's a great end to this thing. Just love, no hate, possibly,
just
or
love
just
and hate.
Take it in. I mean, you're putting it out there for people, so just take it.
Hate
Thank
music's
you.
Part of it,
yeah.
Oh man, yeah. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you for having us,
really
man.
Nice.
Thank you so much.
Der Energy Star Talk. Einer von vielen Energy Original Podcasts. Noch mehr Infos findet ihr auf energy.de. Das Energy Stream Team. Immer die besten Hits für euren Geschmack. Checkt die Energy Webstreams. Zum Beispiel Energy Germany Top 40. I'm sorry I'm here for someone else. Egal wo ihr seid, egal was ihr macht, das ist der richtige Soundtrack für euren Alltag. Checkt Energy Germany Top 40 und alle weiteren Streams in der App und auf energy.de. Denn hört ihr Streams, hört ihr Energy. Hit Music Only.